Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that very much. Bill's a very talented individual. Amen, church. Does a great job. We appreciate Bill. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that we are not to take away or add to God's word. So when you look at the outline tonight, don't think that I'm trying to add a new book to the Bible. There's not a book of Johann, and I'm not trying to create one. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, that is simply a typing error that was not detected. You see there on the screen, Tom Pilcher was in the spirit. He got it right. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. Are we all right? Are we okay now? The book of Jonah, right? Do I need to confess some sin or something? I don't know. Y'all are acting. Not, okay, book of Jonah, chapter 1. Continuing our series, The Storms of Life. Book of Jonah, we might have a revival breakout tonight after we get in the book of Johann. Book of Jonah, relatively small book of the Bible. If you're not familiar, toward the Old Testament, it's the eighth book from the end of the Old Testament. You find Obadiah, Jonah, and then the book of Micah. All right? Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read and look at verse 1 through 16. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word. May we open our hearts to be receptive to your word. Pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me my sins and give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Weather manipulation, also known as weather modification, is the act of intentionally manipulating or altering the weather. The most common form of weather modification is cloud seeding. Cloud seeding is done to increase rain or snow for the purpose of increasing the water supply. It can also be used to prevent more serious weather, and it can be also used to create damaging weather against an enemy or rival nation. It can be used as a military strategy, and it also is used in economic warfare. The United Nations has actually banned weather modification during times of war. Now in modern times, as a result of the ability to modify the weather, after a major storm or hurricane, there are those who always ask the question, was it a man-made storm or an act of God? And believe it or not, this question is actually litigated in our courts of law. But here in the book of Jonah, we read about a severe storm. If you were to ask the question, was it a man-made storm or an act of God? The correct and proper answer would be both. Notice in verse 4, it says here, the Lord sent out a strong or great wind. The phrase there, sent out, in the original Hebrew language means hurled or to throw. God created this storm that Jonah experienced, Jonah and the sailors of the ship. He created this storm and he threw it like a fastball, if you will. He directed it. He sent it to the direct spot that this boat was traveling. And this storm was directed to this place because of Jonah's disobedience. As I said a minute ago, this is a third in a four-part series called The Storms of Life. And briefly, I want to review the three categories of storms, and there may be some here tonight for the first time, haven't heard the previous messages. Three categories of storms. There is the storms of suffering. These are the difficult times, the hard times that we go through, basically because of the circumstances and situations in life. It can be one major event, or it can be an overwhelming series of events that happens at one time. It's just when bad things happen in life, we find ourselves in the middle of one of life's storms. And we talked about that in our first two lessons. And then there's the storms of sorrow. That is the times we feel like we're in a storm because of the loss of a loved one, a family member, or friend. We talked about how that can be especially difficult if it's a sudden loss. But then the third category is the storms of sin. The storms of sin. We find ourselves in life in the middle of a storm due to our own sin, due to an act of disobedience, due to our own bad choices. And so Jonah was a man who was called to be a prophet or a spokesperson for God. And God gave Jonah specific instructions. He told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach the word, or to give the word of God as a prophet, a man of God, give the word of God to the people in the city of Nineveh. But Jonah blatantly refused, and God sent a storm. So we see here tonight our lesson is called a man-made storm. Three things we notice in this passage. Notice, first of all, let's talk about the chastening of the storm. The chastening of the storm. Look at verse 3 and 4. Notice what it says. Look at it with me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. The city of Nineveh was a very large and powerful city located about 500 miles northeast of Israel. It was at one time the capital of the very powerful Assyrian Empire. But Nineveh was also a very evil, wicked city. Verse 2 addresses or mentions the wickedness of Nineveh. It was a wicked, evil city, and the people were very much involved in the worship of pagan gods. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Now, a little side note to understand that in the Old Testament, we see God call men of God to be prophets or to be his spokesperson to speak against Gentile nations, to speak against Gentile non-Jewish people. But this is the first and only time that God sent one of his prophets into a Gentile nation, among non-Jewish Gentile people, to speak against them or to give them the word of God. And so he is to go to this Gentile, non-Jewish nation. That was God's plan for Jonah. But Jonah disobeyed. In a deliberate act of disobedience, Jonah literally and figuratively does the opposite of what God said. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah literally travels in the opposite direction. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them my word. Jonah does the exact opposite in fleeing away from the city and does not deliver the word that God wanted him to deliver. And we know, let's state this truth, Bible truth. The Bible teaches that obedience brings what? Blessings. And disobedience brings judgment. Obedience brings, when you're obedient to the word of God, when you do what God says, he will honor that. He will bless that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when we defy or disobey his word, either by acts of omission, failing to do what it says to do, or acts of commission, committing things that he says not to do, either one of those will bring God's judgment. And we see that here in the life of Jonah. Jonah disobeyed. He failed to do what God said to do. Therefore, there are consequences. And God sent this storm. He sent this storm as a tool to chasten or discipline Jonah. If you're taking notes, write down chasten. The word chasten and chastisement are found in the Bible. We'll give you a Bible dictionary definition of what is happening here, what God's chastening of Jonah. And it takes place in our lives as well. But notice chastisement or chasten. In the Bible, the term usually refers to punishment or discipline inflicted by God for the purpose of, number one, education, instruction, and training. Number two, for the purpose of corrective guidance. Chastisement and chastening. Number three is for the purpose of discipline in the sense of corrective punishment. Sometimes in life, when we find ourselves in the middle of one of life's storms, we say to ourselves and we proclaim, boy, the devil he's after me. Satan, we just blame it on Satan and say, Satan is after us, and Satan is doing this to me, and Satan's doing that to me. And in the reality, sometimes we give Satan a little bit too much credit. Because many times we find ourselves in a storm, and it's the result of our own disobedience, and God is sending that storm, sending that difficult situation, those hard times to chasten us, to correct us, to get our life back on track. Listen, get this principle tonight. I know that when you go through the storms of life, it is hard. I've been through many myself. And for the same reasons that Jonah, I'll share that with you in just a moment. But never discredit the benefit of the storms. We talked about the last 2 weeks, the storms of suffering And we said that God is always active in your life, even in the midst of storms. And so if it's a storm of sin, result of our own actions, God is still at work. God is still trying to do something in your life. God is still trying to correct you, to guide you, to get you back on track to what you need to, where you need to be. So never discredit the storms of life. We said that storms have two purposes: to perfect us, meaning to grow us spiritually, to develop our faith, and it's also to correct us. But either way, it is necessary for us to see what God is up to. We need to try to determine what it is God is trying to do. We need not ask the question, why is this happening to me? But what is it, God, you trying to teach me? Or what is it I need to learn? That is the question we need to be asking when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm. But remember this. In the storms of sin, and if it is God's chastening, if it is God's discipline, listen. God's chastening or discipline in the storms does this important thing. It proves his love for us. Somebody say amen. It's hard. You don't feel loved when you're in the middle of the storm. It's a difficult situation, but understand it's God at work because of his love for you. Hebrews 12:5-6. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Listen to this. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. God sent this storm into Jonah's life because he loved Jonah, and he wanted Jonah to turn back from that wrong path that he was on. And God loves each one of us. He wants what is best for each one of us. And sometimes he sends the storm in our lives to get us back on the right track. I heard a story about a mother of a little boy who was having a very busy, hectic day. It was just a bad day, and she was frustrated. Her little boy came home from school. He was wearing his best pair of pants. He went outside to play and tore a hole in his brand new pants. The mother went outside, frustrated, and said to the little boy, "You go right in, take off those pants, and you start sewing up that hole yourself." A little while later, she went into the house to see how he was doing. The torn pants were lying across the chair, and the door to the basement, which was usually closed, was open. The mother called out, "Young man, are you running around down there without your pants on?" A man's deep voice replied, "No, ma'am, I'm just down here reading your gas meter." As parents, we often make mistakes, yes, even in the area of discipline. But God doesn't make mistakes, especially in the area of discipline. He knows what's best for us. He knows when we're off track. He knows when there's sin in our life. He wants us to be recipients of his best and his blessings. And sometimes in the storms of life are because of our disobedience, and he has to discipline us. And remember, he does it because he loves us. Another great cross-reference, Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. So we see here, number one, the chastening of the storm. Number two, notice the cause of the storm. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. Notice what it says here. Verse 6, so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Let's look at all the passengers, the people on this ship, and see what we can learn from them. We see here the crew, the sailors, if you will, made up of, at this point, scared pagans. And the passenger, Jonah, a sleeping prophet. But the crew, as I said, pagan Gentiles, don't know the true and living God. They worship their pagan gods. It said they prayed to their many gods, their more than one god. But we see here the storm must be really bad because these men spend every day on the sea. This is their livelihood. They do this for a living, but we see they are now very scared. They pray to their pagan gods. They feel like their lives is going to end, but they decided to cast lots, and it revealed that Jonah was the cause. And then we see in verse 8 something interesting here. Now they begin to ask Jonah all these questions. Now they begin to analyze and investigate this man named Jonah. The lesson to learn, they should have been doing that before he got on the ship, amen? They should have been finding out these things before they let Jonah onto the ship. Listen, we must be careful who we let in our lives. Other people's drama and trauma can cause us heartache and give you a headache. But look at Jonah. He's the reason that the boat is in the storm. This storm is not the result of somebody else. This is a self-inflicted storm. This is the result of his own choices. He disobeyed God's instructions. Today we have God's written word, God's instructions, God's GPS. In the Bible we find God's will and God's way. And sometimes God's plan does not make sense. It may not seem right. But we have to remember God knows what's best and we have to trust him. Almost 30 years ago, back in around 1992-93, God began to work in my life. Kim and I were married in 1990. We celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary this month. Lord, help me. Next month. See, I was so excited about celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. There's nothing I can say, is there, guys? Just keep going. No. 30 years, what's a month or two anyway, right? After 30 years. Kim and I, before we got married, started attending her home church. I'm going to try to make this story short synopsis. Got involved, and one night in a revival meeting, God dealt with me in a major way. I won't give you all the details, but radical change in my life. He dealt with me. I hadn't been living right, changed my life. I totally surrendered to the Lord. 2, maybe 3 years later, God begins to deal with me, and God begins to tell me, I want you to preach. No, God, I'm not doing that. He was calling me to preach. And you've heard people say, God said to me, or I heard God say, and sometimes we really do. It's that internal voice, right? Well, let me just fast forward and say that I refused that call to preach, and it got to the point that was all I heard. I ran from it like Jonah. Now, God may not call you to preach, but he was calling me to preach. I didn't understand it. It did not make sense. I didn't want to do it. I didn't ask for it, and I told him I wasn't. On and on and on. This goes over a period of time, not just days, weeks, long time. I'm not doing that, God. Yes, you are. I'm calling you to preach. No, I'm not doing that. I ran and ran and ran and ran. That is a sin of omission. Giving me instructions on what to do, and I'm refusing to do it. And it got so bad to the point that I couldn't eat or sleep. And when I didn't tell anybody. I didn't talk to anybody about this. This is my own storm I'm living. So I called my pastor, and I told him I needed to talk with him. And I went and met with my pastor in his office on a Saturday morning, and I told him what was happening. He said, "Ted, this is what I want you to do." He said, "If you feel like God is calling you to preach, I want you to run from it. Don't do it. Refuse. Get away. Run from it." And I said, "Pastor, I've been running from it so long, and I can't run no more." He said, "Then you need to give in." And in the floor of his office, I got down on my knees, and I surrendered to that call to preach. And I tell that story to tell you that the moment I did that, you know what happened, right? The storm stopped. The winds and the sea obeyed. The storm ceased. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know anything, but I knew I had to surrender. So, God may not call you to preach, but you know God saves every one of us in here, right? Amen. You're glad you're saved? Well, God saves us to serve. God saves every one of us to do something to advance his kingdom. To glorify him. That's your purpose, to glorify God. How? By doing what it is he's created and saved you to do. And if he's calling you to do that, if there's something, a need of some sort, or something he's wanting you to do, obey. Because the blessings and the peace that comes from that, you can't put into words. I got this quote from a man, Dr. B.J. Miller. He said this: "It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it." That's good, isn't it? Number three, we got to move on. I know the time has run out, but look, number three. The chastening of the storm, number one. The cause of the storm, number two. Number three, the ceasing of the storm. We won't read that. We are out of time here. The sailors, the crew of the ship complied with Jonah's instructions. Listen to this third point now. Jonah was thrown overboard, and the storm, consisting of wind and rain, stopped, at least in the life of the sailors. But Jonah's storm has not stopped. Amen? His method of travel just changed. That's all that happened. He just went from a ship to a belly of a whale or a big fish. The storm in Jonah's life is still going on. Until chapter 2, in his prayer, he calls on the Lord. We don't have time to dissect that, but that is when the storm ended, when you call on the Lord, when you surrender to him, when you remember the Lord is the term that Jonah used in his prayer. And God had mercy on Jonah. Praise God for a God that will have mercy on us when we do finally make that decision to say, okay. And then in chapter 3, God says to Jonah a second time, go to Nineveh. God loves you. He saved you to serve. And sometimes he shows us his love by correcting us when we go astray. This is a third and a four-part lesson. This is a lesson on those storms of sin. And he loves you when we find, and that's his purpose is to correct us. Let's pray.